Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But, you know, I want to transition because we want to talk about Miriam Ibrahim and her interview. We're going to get to that. But it got me to thinking, Pat, about the day of persecution that we're going to experience. You know, ever since we read about in the Bible, Stephen is being stoned to death. Mm-hmm. And you go all the way through and you see, you know, what Nero did to the Christians was horrific, demonic. We've talked about it extensively, hanging Jesus, not Jesus, but yeah, well, I guess Christians on a cross and in his gardens.
Yeah.
And soaking them in wax so that he can, and burning them so that he can be able to see his gardens at night. There was other just crazy, perverse things that he did. I mean, you have the Jews that were killed, the Christians that were killed in the Roman Colosseum. And you just kind of go on and on and on. And even there was a book called the Fox Book of Martyrs. I think it was published in the 1500s. And it just details some of the ways that Christians were martyred.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it, and around the world there's been a lot of Christians that have suffered. A lot of Jews no doubtedly have suffered. But we're seeing a wave now in recent days that we have not seen before. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it not only in other countries, but now we're starting to see it and going to see it in greater measure in the West. And the question is, are we going to be able to stand in that day of persecution? You know, Rick Joyner says that in the harvest, a vision that the Lord gave him some 25 years ago, which much of it has already come to pass, he says that the Lord showed him where the church was going to face a great persecution, is going to be a falling away, and it was all part of God's process to purge, if you will, the church, to get it ready for some of the greatest, you know, ingathering of souls, harvest that the world has ever seen, that the church has ever seen. But you look at what's happening right now, when you really kind of zoom in the lens and you just pull back and you start realizing what's happening on the landscape, and you see where Christians are being tormented, where they're being persecuted. I mean, when you look at the Muslim Brotherhood and when they got into Egypt and when they were empowered by our president in this administration, when he went all the way to Cairo, Egypt, and he spoke at the University of Cairo University, and where he empowered the Muslim Brotherhood, the president at that time, Hosni Mubarak, didn't even welcome them in the country. They were trying to, you know, marginalize them, saying, these guys are not good. He doesn't even show up to this speech. Mm-hmm. And we find out from Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann that they have been influenced, you know, have influence in this administration and in government. And you look at what happened as soon as the Muslim Brotherhood got into power and Hosni Mubarak was replaced as a president. They had, yeah, I guess, elections, and Morsi becomes a president. He's part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Immediately, they began to start persecuting Christians, torching churches. They suspended their own constitution and were making ways to bring Sharia into Egypt. And on the anniversary of Morsi being elected, 1 year later, the Egyptians just rose up and said, no, 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 no. And they took their nation back. They have a new president now, and they're saying end to that. But what happened? A lot of Christians suffered during that time period. You look at what's happening in Syria with a civil war that has claimed over 100,000 lives, and the Christians are caught in the middle. They're being attacked. They're being killed. Their churches are being burned and torched, and you're hearing very little about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here recently, you heard about what ISIS is doing, what they've done and what they continue to do. I mean, right now, ISIS has beheaded children. It has beheaded Christians. It has done horrific things. We learned that they shoved, if you will, over 25,000 Christians to Sinjar Mountain, and they were starving up there. They were dying of dehydration. It's just horrible. And you look at it and you say, okay, this is what has happened. And then recently, we hear about Miriam Ibrahim, a Sudanese woman who was sentenced to prison for what they say committing adultery because she married a man who was Christian.
Right.
They try to say that she was a Muslim. She's like, I'm not a Muslim. I'm Christian.
Right.
I am a Christian. I follow Christ. So she was sentenced to death. She was in prison. She was shackled. She was pregnant. Her son was there with her in prison. And she was also supposed to have 100 lashes after she gave birth. The woman gave birth to a daughter named Maya, by the way, in prison. Mm-hmm. And all she had to do, Steve, was just renounce that she followed Christ. That's all she had to do. But that was no small feat. There's no way she was going to do that.
No.
And through the providence of God, through your prayers, because there's something we've covered extensively, she has been released. She has been released. I mean, we're going to hear from her for the first time, her in her own words. Some words are being translated. And you'll be able to hear it, but this is great news. This encourages us to be able to pray for, you know, Pastor Saeed, who's an Iranian American pastor who is still today, over 2 years, I believe, still in Evin prison in Iran. And there's so many others that many don't even know about. We want to continue to pray for the persecuted church and to see what they're doing and how they are just persevering and how God is with them. When we get back from this break, you're going to hear from Miriam as she is being interviewed by Megyn Kelly, and you're going to hear it in her own words how she was able to endure this trial in her life and why she would not turn down the Lord. She was going to stand, even in the time in her life where all the conditions were stinky and they stunk. She didn't turn away. She stayed with the Lord. We're going to get right into Miriam's interview. First time she's been interviewed here in the United States on television. Megyn Kelly with Fox on the Kelly File had the opportunity to interview her. And we're just going to share with you just a piece of this interview. But you're going to be encouraged by the things that she has to say. Watch this.
Miriam, it is wonderful to see you here.
I'm happy to be here with you.
You were 3 weeks pregnant with a little girl. You had a baby boy who was just over a year old when you were first jailed in January of 2014. What went through your mind in that prison cell?
The situation was difficult, but I was sure that God would stand by my side. I relied only on my faith, and I knew that God would stand by me at any time in any situation.
Within 6 weeks, you were found guilty of these charges. Did they give you the chance to renounce your Christian faith?
I was given 3 days. In addition to that, while I was in prison, some people came to visit me from the Muslim Scholars Association. These were imams that created an intervention by reciting parts of the Quran for me. I faced a tremendous amount of pressure.
And yet you refused. You were pregnant. You had a little baby boy in that prison cell with you. How difficult was it to stand by your faith under those circumstances?
I had my trust in God. My faith was the only weapon that I had in these confrontations with imams and Muslim scholars, because that's what I believe.
But why not just say what they wanted to hear to save your life?
If I did that, that would mean that I gave up. It's not possible because it's not true. It's my right to follow the religion of my choice. I'm not the only one suffering from this problem. There are many Maryams in Sudan and throughout the world. It's not just me. I'm not the only one.
Did you believe they would kill you?
Faith means life. If you don't have faith, you're not alive.
Wow. 12 days after the death sentence was handed down, you gave birth to Maya in prison. Describe the conditions there.
Maya was born under difficult circumstances. I was supposed to give birth at a hospital, but they denied that request. When it was time to give birth, they refused to remove the chains from my ankles, so I had to give birth in chains. It was difficult.
What a dark moment that must have been. You're in this Sudanese prison. You're holding your newborn baby. Your young toddler son is in there with you. You're knowing that you have been sentenced to die. How did you deal with that?
This was a very difficult situation, but I had my faith in God. I knew that God would help me, that God knew that I was a victim of injustice. It is my right to be able to practice the religion I choose.
What is your understanding of what the U.S. government did for you?
But in the beginning, before I went to prison, Daniel and I first went to the U.S. embassy. The consul refused to speak to us and hear the details of the problem. She refused to deal with us and told us to go to the UN. However, Ambassador Jerry Lanier stood by me, and his support made a big difference in my life.
Finally, under international pressure, an appeals court set you free. What was it like to get that news?
I laughed. I cried. I was very happy.
At the airport, they tried to stop you from leaving Sudan, but ultimately you got out. You flew to Rome first with their deputy foreign minister, who, right before you landed, sent out a message saying, a couple of minutes away from Rome, mission accomplished. And then you met with the Pope. That must have been surreal.
I was very happy. I have no problem with anyone. I have not committed any crime. The only thing I'm guilty of is wanting to live my life the way I choose.
Was it sad for you to leave Sudan, despite everything?
Sad, yes, because this is my country where I was born. My people, my friends, my neighbors are all there, and my life is deeply rooted in Sudan. Despite all of the suffering and difficult circumstances, one gets used to it.
Let's talk about Islam, because Sudan sees the regular persecution of Christians. It's not unusual. 88% of the girls undergo genital mutilation. How dangerous do you perceive radical Islam?
As I said, I put my life at risk for the women of Sudan. I was close to them, and I felt their suffering. I share with them the difficult circumstances in prison and in life in general. With regard to the situation of Christians, this is a well-known fact that they live under difficult circumstances and they are persecuted and treated harshly. They are afraid to say that they are Christians out of fear of persecution. Sometimes imprisoned Christians with financial difficulties are told that the government will pay off their debts if they convert to Islam. I was never a Muslim. I have always been a Christian. So if you are a Christian and you convert to Islam, it becomes hard to leave Islam because if you do so, you will be subjected to the death penalty.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. Wow. When you look at Miriam, you know, it's like, I'm not even worthy to stand in this woman's presence. Look at the stuff that she was able to endure for the cause of Christ. She refused to deny him. She refused to renounce her faith. She refused.
Yeah.
And you look at her, she's being interviewed. I mean, what a beautiful glow on her. I mean, you can just see life. I mean, under that type of imprisonment, you would think that someone would be, you know, depressed, gloomy, and all I saw on her was just this glow, this just a refreshing of God on her life, and I just thought that was so beautiful. But I want to give you a quote, something that she said that I thought was just amazing. She said, the situation was difficult, but I was sure that God would stand by my side. I relied only on my faith, and I knew that God would stand by me at any time in my situation. And that's something that you got to know. You have to know that when you're facing trials like this, you have to know, the Bible says, those that know their God will do great exploits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's powerful because she goes through and she talks about, you know, the birthing. She talks about the pressure. And I think that's so powerful because when she's saying that initially
when she went into jail, she had those multiple imams that came and just started just speaking scripture. And she said there was just tremendous pressure. And consistently she says, I just stood by my faith. I stood by my faith because I knew who my God was. And that's so powerful too, because when those moments come, it's just like tremendous pressure. And it's just like, at that point, it's like, it's not about just remember our, you know, just the knowledge. It's like, you got to know the God that you profess to know and know the fact that he's real and that he will not abandon you.
Yeah. And she didn't sell out. Mm-hmm. She talked about other, what the government tries to do is that if they're in debt, they'll pay off their debt if they'll convert to Islam. And she's like, no, listen, there's nothing you can give me to turn my back on Jesus. Mm-hmm. She's preaching a message to the entire world. He is so amazing. He's so beautiful. He's done such an amazing work in her life, in the lives of so many Christians who refuse to bow the knee. It's because he's real.
Yeah.
He is love. We're forgiven, and we're going to be with him in eternity. Listen, I want to encourage you, make Jesus the Lord of your life today. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.